Well, I don't know about you, but what a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. I know that I'm grateful, Glenn, for your words. I'm grateful that the Lord's kept you awake in order to bless me. I hope that you get a good night's sleep. Some 6 or 7 weeks ago, I can't remember now, since the last time I stood here and had the privilege of just opening up God's word, but I do know that something that the Lord placed on my heart then was to do with anchors. And the Bible talks about hope being an anchor for our souls. And when I read through a passage in Acts, it's round about Acts 27, we see a story there about Paul. He's been falsely accused. I say falsely accused. In one sense, he's been accused rightly, because he was going to be imprisoned because of preaching the gospel. So I guess he has been preaching the gospel, but it's been distorted. And he appealed to Caesar, so he had to take a journey. That journey entailed him getting on a ship and sailing an awful distance. And there's times where Paul would receive a revelation from God, and he would say to those that are in control, those that should know better, don't do this or this will happen. Don't sail. And he did warn them about not sailing. And if you know the story in Acts 27:27, you'll know, you'll be familiar with the shipwreck. You'll be familiar with some of the things that happened there. And so as we look through God's word and we go, okay, it's good to read scripture. It's also good to say, what about me? What about now? What about this day? What about next week? What about this year? And the thing that really struck me some weeks ago was a verse that I've probably read before, but I'd never heard it. And it was talking about where they was in this boat, and there was a storm all around them, and fearfulness came over them. They hadn't eaten, they hadn't drank much, and they didn't see the daylight for weeks. And it said they threw 4 anchors out to keep the ship stable. And I've read it, I'm sure, many times, but I didn't hear it. And a few months ago, I heard this scripture, and I just want to use that as a backdrop, because I believe there's been many churches, many Christians, many households, many individuals that have cut their anchors and allowed the boat to drift. And when you cut your anchors and allow the boat to drift, then what will happen is what's happened in this story. The boat got destroyed. The men survived, but they lost the very security that they put their hope in. And there are things that I want to bring out over these weeks, maybe about anchors, using that as a format to say, you know, hope, the Bible says, is an anchor for our souls. We don't hope for something we already have. We hope for something that is to be. And that's the gospel. Though we walk through these tough times, the good news is God's there with us. Though you may feel down, you're not out. You may feel downtrodden, but God lifts you up and picks you up. That's why, yes, I can be joyful in affliction. And so can you. We can be joyful in... Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Look what he says about you and what he says about me. Let's read some of this. I want to look at Acts 27:27. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. When about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings. They let a rope down with possibly a lead weight on it, and they could read the markers on there. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again, and they found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that they would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea and pretended they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. "For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive." Not one of you will lose a single hair on your head. After he said this, he took some bread, he gave thanks to God in front of them all, and then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they had decided to run the ship aground. If they could, cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes and held the rudder. Then they hoisted the foresail into the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck the sandbar and ran aground. The bow struck fast and would not move. The stern was broken into pieces by the pounding of the surf. I want to suggest to us, using this as a backdrop of what I'm trying to say, is hope is an anchor for our souls. It will help keep this ship of ours where God wants it to be. God's word is an anchor for our souls. And there are some times we are maybe so perplexed that we want to cut that anchor of God's word. If we look through this story, for instance, we'll see that they didn't eat natural food for a long time. And it's the same for you and me if we don't eat spiritual food for a long time. We become discouraged instead of encouraged. Paul took some bread. He gave thanks. He gave thanks to God. Thank you for this provision. He ate and everyone was encouraged. So I want to suggest to you today that if you haven't been eating God's word, then scripture tells us that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Let's eat. Let's not cut the anchor that holds us steadfast. Yes, there will be times, just as using this story, where they had to lighten the load. There are things maybe this year we can get rid of. Maybe we can get rid of the things that distract us, the things that hurt us, the things that allow us and enable us to be what we don't want to be. Maybe we can cut them loose. But let's not let the anchors go. The anchor that keeps us in the storm of life. And we all go through storms, don't we? It's not just me. It's you as well. So God's word is an anchor. It's a light. It's a lamp. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It brings division. The heart that I have and Susan have is that we want to see you be the best you can be. That's our heart. We want to see you be the best you can be. For some people, that will be serving in a local church like this. For others, it will be serving somewhere else. We've had the privilege over the years to empower people to believe they are and they can and they will and they should and they do. And we want to see ourselves and us as a congregation being strengthened and encouraged. Let's not cut the anchor of hope. Let's not cut the anchor of God's word. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, all scripture is God breathed. It's inspired by God. God's given you a brain. There are some things that I look at and I don't need someone to interpret them for me. It says what it says. Do not means don't. All means all, everyone. There are some things that we don't need to interpret. Other things we need to dig in a bit more and read around the verses, because they weren't verses, obviously, in the original manuscripts, just one letter. So we need to dissect God's word. We need to look at it at face value sometimes and say, Spirit of God, reveal the truth to me. But it says clearly here, all scripture is God breathed, and it's useful. It's useful for teaching. I remember, I make no apologies, it's just who I am. I'm not a great schooled person, but I did attend Bible college for maybe 12 months. And something that really captured me for all of that information that I was trying to process was teaching. And this is what my instructor said, and this is the thing that I took away with. When you say something, if the people you're speaking to don't hear what you've said, you haven't taught anything. So you can be very articulate. You can be well-versed, well-schooled. You can have letters after your name. But if what you're saying is not heard, then we haven't taught anything. So I want us to hear God's word today. My words are not important. I speak loudly and I speak too fast maybe. But it's not my words. My prayer is that you will hear what God is saying through his word. Let the Holy Spirit work. All scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching. It also goes on to say it's useful for rebuking. God disciplines the ones he loves. Sometimes when bad things happen to good people, we think we've done something wrong. We discipline our children because we love them, don't we? God disciplines you and he disciplines me because he loves us. I think sometimes I say to the Lord, I've got enough love, Lord. Please don't discipline me anymore. But it's for our encouraging. It's useful for correcting. And when we correct something, it's usually because of there's a distortion. So you may see something and you may have a distorted view of it. And God wants to correct it. And he'll do that if you feed on his word. Don't let the anchors be cut. So it's good for teaching. It's useful for rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. In other words, God wants us to do the right thing. Why? He answers the question here. So that the servant of God, that's you. Jesus said this himself. He said, I come not to be served, but to serve. So we are servants. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We want to be equipped in this year 2000, don't we? And 20. We want to be equipped. Well, for us to be thoroughly equipped, there will be some training, there'll be some teaching, there'll be some rebuking, there'll be some correcting, and we're all going to be encouraged to walk in righteousness, have a right standing with God. But mark this, it says in 2 Timothy 3. There will be terrible times in the last days. Right. So if this is 2019 and this is 2020, 2019 is there and we're further on, aren't we? So we can say these days are last days in comparison to those days. But listen to what it says. And this was scribed for us many, many moons ago. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. God knows the beginning from the end. He created us. This is written down so that we keep a firm hold on our anchor. And the anchor I'm talking about today is his word. Not my words, his words. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. God shows us through his word that we should constantly examine ourselves. I don't want to have a form of godliness, so on the outside I look as if I'm holier than thou, but deny God's power. There were many people who were teaching falsehoods in this time. Many people who would say things that weren't truthful. They had a form of godliness. Jesus would say to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He would say to those that understood the Torah, inside out, back to front, the law of the day, you're like a whitewashed tomb. What does that mean? It means you look good on the outside, but you're full of dead men's bones on the inside. He would go on to say, when you take the bowl, you wash the outside, but you do nothing about what's inside. It's what's inside a heart that comes out of the mouth, not what goes into the mouth and through the stomach, the Bible says. So the Word of God is an anchor that I believe that if you grab hold of afresh and not let go of it, it'll keep you afloat. If you're going through tough times, if you're going through the storms of life, maybe you're not, but you will do if you're not. Why? Because we live in the world, but we're not of the world. God's Word will keep you safe. God's Word will encourage you. It's not just a lifeboat, it's the ship itself. And when Jesus is in your boat, as we read through Scripture, then there can be a storm all around us, but he just says one word and it's calm. So let's be a people in 2020 that will not cut the ropes, not cut the anchors of God's Word. Let's not just have a form of godliness on the outside, but let's see his power work through us on the inside. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9 says this, "Or do you not know? Do you not know that there are some scriptures that we don't want to read because it will offend someone?" And one of the things that I've found and one of the things that I've walked through myself is that we can't take away what God says. I would like to take away certain verses, but we can't. But so often people don't hear the good news of what's being said. So let me give you an example. I want you to hear the good news. Listen to what this scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9. "Or do you not know that wrongdoers," that's me, I'm a wrongdoer, "wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God." That's not good news. "Do not be deceived. Neither will the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." But this is the bit people miss when they get upset about God's word. Because we are all on this list, one way or another. It goes on to say this, "And that was what some of you were. But you were washed." And listen, maybe yesterday you was one of these. Well, today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. Don't cut the anchor. You can be washed. You can be cleansed. You can be clothed today. That's the good news that many people don't hear. Because maybe it hasn't been spoken plainly enough. If I speak plainly, hopefully you will hear. If you hear, you will be taught. If you're taught, you will change. If you change, you'll go from glory to glory. And that was what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, set apart, you were justified, made clean, just as if I'd not sinned in the first place. In the name, get this, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of our God. So you can only be justified, sanctified, washed, cleansed and clothed through believing in one name. And that's the name of Jesus. So if you walked in this bit, then you can walk in this bit. Don't cut the anchors of God's word. When you mess up, keep short accounts with God, keep short accounts with each other, give your sin to him, confess it, move on. So this is a good word, I believe. This is an encouraging word for this year. Just to say, be encouraged, be of good cheer. Don't cut the anchors of God's word because it's useful. Matthew 4 verse 3. "The tempter came to him," who's him? Jesus, "and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.'" Jesus was tempted, as we know. You and I are tempted all the time. It's not about the temptation. It's about what we do with that temptation. Do we take the temptation and turn it into an act? Every time I wake up, I'm tempted. But I don't want to act on that temptation, and nor should you. And the way to preserve yourself in the storms of life is to make sure your anchor's secure. And you have a hope, and you have God's word. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." This word of God's, We have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament. There are lots of rituals and laws that are in the Old Testament that does not apply to us in the New Testament. But everything is useful. But not everything is beneficial. I can do everything, but not everything is going to benefit me. I need to weigh up my life with God's word by not cutting the anchor. So let's see what God says about the situation. If you're going through a tough time, what does God say about it? What does he say about you? What does he say about me? Matthew 7:24 says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine," Jesus is saying this, "if you hear my words and you put them into practice, it's like a man, a wise man who built his house on the rock." So when we hear God's word, either through when we read it, the Holy Spirit encouraging us, when we listen to it on tape or verbally, when we hear God's word and we put it into practice, God says we're like wise men, wise women, who build their house on the rock. When the rain comes down and the streams rose and the winds blow against that house, it will not fall. It's the same as saying the foundation that God has given us is an anchor that will hold us steadfast. No one can lay any foundation other than the one that's already laid. And that's not any other religion. That's not any other name. That is Jesus Christ. Christ and him crucified. He was born. He died. He rose again. God has empowered me and you to be able to go through the storms of life. Don't cut the anchor of his word. Even when there's times when you read through scripture and it makes us squirm, it's there to reprove us, to encourage us, to discipline us, and to enable us to not have a form of godliness, but to have a powerful gospel. So the opposite is true when we don't listen to God's word. When we don't listen to God's word, we'll cut the ropes, we'll cut the anchors, and we'll be shipwrecked. Let's not be shipwrecked this year. Let's hang on to God's word. Let's be secure in that boat, if you like. Let's enable those anchors to be firm. And one of those anchors I want to suggest is God's word. Let's devote ourselves this year to reading, to praying, to being enabled, to seeing who God says we are afresh. In Matthew 13:18, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Many of you have heard this parable over the years. The sower goes out to sow seed. It says this, anyone who hears the message about the kingdom." We hear lots of messages, don't we? I remember me and Susan, we went to a big mega church many years ago and we heard a message on dog poo. I don't know what the message was about. Maybe it's don't step in it. I don't know. But that's not the message I want to hear. I want to hear the message about the kingdom. Do you? About the kingdom. And that means we're going to squirm sometimes. That means we're going to think that I know what you think I don't know, and I don't know what you think I don't know, because God is just revealing something through his word. How many times have you been in a meeting where the minister says something and you think, he's talking to me? Well, God's word is sharp like that. He's talking to you. Anyone who hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. That's why it's important to understand. God, what are you saying to me through your word about this situation? Don't let the enemy rob and steal what God has given you. The reason that I was unconsolable at the funeral of a 45-year-old man who died from alcoholism is because he should have never been so stubborn as not to believe that God can. And I want to say to us, the beginning of this year, God can. God can through you. Whatever your storm is, do not cut the anchor of God's word. Enable him to work in you and through. In John 8:3, it says this, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery." Many of us have heard this before. And we quote this, "He who is without sin cast the first stone." That's true, isn't it? That's true. The way you judge, you'll be judged. But we are called to judge. But there's something that I believe many, many people miss. Jesus was full of compassion. He says, I didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world through me. I've paid for their sin, but they need to do something. They need to accept me as Lord and Savior. And he portrayed the same attributes when the law says that this woman, caught in the act, doesn't mention where the man was, he should have been there. Jesus knew, he understood. Don't be deceived when people tell you one thing and they leave another thing out. That's why we need to read all the scripture to find the truth, not just a little bit. I'm blessed. Yes, I am blessed. But those that have the opportunity to teach or preach will be doubly accountable as well. I believe for a double portion of God's goodness, and I also know that he's watching and looking and listening. Do I make mistakes? All the time. But God's grace will hold me up. She's caught in the act of adultery. And they say to him, trying to trip him up, what do you say, Lord? What do you say, Master, about this? And he bent down on the ground and began to write, scripture says. And then he straightened up and asked, after saying, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. In other words, examine your own life before you look at someone else. In other words, he didn't say it, but you could say, take the plank out of your eye before you try and take the speck out of mine. God calls us to judge ourselves before we judge others. But listen to what he says to the woman. Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? In other words, where are the accusers? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you. Jesus declared, go now and leave your life of sin. He was calling her a sinner. Sinner, sin is sin. So we mess up. It's sin. Let's call sin, sin. But the same grace that God showed her, he'll show you. The same grace he showed her, he'll show me. That's God's word. He doesn't increase our lawlessness so that the grace can abound more. He equips us to stop sinning. And we don't want to use God's word in God's house because we might offend. Well, I'm not offensive. God's word may be. But if we don't preach the truth, we won't be set free from the lie, will we? So I want to encourage us to get hold of God's word. Don't miss the nuggets that are in these scriptures. Yes, it is not healthy to judge others. But God calls us to make a judgment according to his standard. And his standard is grace. Listen, I stretch out my hand, take it. And some people will say no. Well, that's fine. But God's word is an anchor for our souls. God's word is an anchor in the storms of life. Let's not cut those anchors. Let's not let them go. There are certain things that we see as lifeboats. Maybe our standing in life. Maybe our achievements. Maybe finances. Maybe we want people to think well of us. Well, they can all be lifeboats. Yet Jesus says that he is more than enough for you. We don't need to have a standby. I believe in Jesus unless I get a better offer. I believe in that God is working in my life unless something better comes along. Yeah, I know I should go to church, but God still loves me if I stay at home. Well, that's true. But when we come together, we celebrate what God has done in our lives. It takes the focus off of us and puts it on him. Peter took the focus off of Christ and put it on himself. He began to sink. The opposite is true. If we take the focus off of us and put it on him, we won't sink. Don't cut the anchor of the word of God. Don't cut the anchor. Romans 5, and I'll finish. Romans 5:20. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have the law which enables us to know that we're doing wrong. And Jesus brought what was in the old into the new. Do not murder. Do not do this. I want you to live your best life, as some people say, now. We can have eternity now and in the future. God wants us, I believe, to not cut the ropes of the anchors or the chains of the anchors. Leave them firmly in place so that we may be safe in the storms of life. Acts 17:24. God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He does not live in temples built by human hands. Doesn't matter what you've got, what you build, God doesn't live there. He lives in our hearts. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From the one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and maybe find him. God put this all into motion so that we would reach out and find him. Let's reach out afresh this year. Skip the other scriptures. Last one. Final. Revelation 1:1. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Father, we thank you for your word. It's an anchor for our lives. Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in you. It's an anchor for our lives. Lord, we pray that you would empower us, impact us, enable us to move forward in 2020, knowing that we are fearfully and wonderfully made and our feet are on the foundation. When the wind and the waves come, we'll stand firm. Lord, as we sail through this ocean of life, Lord, may our anchors be secure, that we will not be blown around by the wind of every doctrine, but we'll enable ourselves to listen and hear and react to your truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just finish with a final hymn. Please stay and have a bit of time with us. Let's use this year and maybe, just maybe, we can have shorter services so we can have longer time together.